Blog Talk Radio.
Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Thinking, Chris, shrinking. Nah, I just don't brag about the deals I've been inking. Honorary degrees from Lincoln. I cross borders like those Sheikins and do albums in a weekend. I'm hip hop speaking, never the weakling. I'm the truth, man, so what are y'all speaking? Them lies and them liars, I still make flyers. I still ride bands and say MC for hire. I'll spit the fire anywhere, any place. Mama never told you to stay out of grown folk face. Then you got them rappers with that cold broke face. They tour around the world, then they going no place. My KRS One moves at his own pace. On vegetable oil, no gas, no waste. Then you got these intellectuals, really they're sexual, but they wanna remain respectable. Stop fronting. Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Thinking me, I say impeccable, running circles around these intellectuals. What a spectacle. They get mad when I say I and God are identical. You better get on your knees and praise them. These conspiracy theory rappers, I'll blaze them too. Ooh, deja vu. You seen this all before me, slaying your crew. I'm known by all the kids. I studied Dr. King, man, and all he did. People don't stop calling Chris for gigs, cause when I'm on the mic, man, I flip they lid. Bullshit. I can't even count all the dough this month I did. From coast to coast, we roasting toast. I'm hot, me and the ice can't get close. Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Revolutionaries know the game. We take away the pain like Novocaine. Knowledge reigning supreme, you know the name. This the name that don't play all them games. I ain't gonna call no names or take away no fame, but the airwaves is a shame, and the public don't know who to blame. So they blame rappers like we are insane, like we are to blame for society's pain, like they don't know for sure what's in our brains. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Same style oppression, socially rearranged. Many of our problems we already overcame, but we stuck in the past, can't see the change. Stuck in the Hyundai, can't see the range. Stuck in the towers, can't see the planes.
Do
you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now?
What's going on? 347-838-9827, Jimmy's Underground Radio Network. I'm not in the studio. I should be in there. I don't know how long I'll be there. But today's topic, we're going to continue our discussion on Condoleezza Rice for 2016 and our tribute to deceased hip-hop artists. We're doing Nate Dogg today. I thought Ebony might be there by now to probably run a couple of commercials. Saw me a few. But so how I'm going to do. First of all, I got to make a stop. And then I'm going to be there. In the meantime, what I'm going to do is pass the microphone to someone that gives a little time to stall while we get to our destination. History or the gentleman we're going to be on today.
That's Norman. Okay. Nathaniel Dwayne Hill, born August 19, 1969,
better known by his stage name, Nate Dogg. He was an African-American musician. He is known for his membership of the rap trio 213 and his solo career, in which he collaborated with Dr. Dre, Eminem, Warren G, Tupac Shakur, and Snoop Dogg on many hit releases. Nate Dogg released 3 solo albums, G-Funk Classics, Volume 1 and 2 in 1998, Music and Me in 2001, and Nate Dogg in 2008. Nate Dogg died 2011 in Long Beach, California, of complications from multiple strokes. Nate Dogg was born in Clarksdale, Mississippi. He moved to Long Beach, California when he was 14, following his parents' divorce. He was the friend and partner in the rap game with rappers Snoop Dogg, Warren G, RBX, Dolph Dillinger, and was the cousin of Butch Cassidy and Little Half Dead. He began singing as a child in the New Hope Baptist Church in Long Beach and Lifeline Baptist Church in Clarksdale, Mississippi, where his father, Daniel Lee Hale, was pastor. At the age of 16, he dropped out of high school in Long Beach and left home to join the United States Marine Corps, serving for 3 years. Okay, his early career was 213. In 1990, Nate Dogg and Snoop Dogg and their friends, Warren G, formed a rap trio called 213. 213 recorded their first demo in the back of the famed VIP record store in Long Beach. The demo was later heard by Dr. Dre at a house party, and he was instantly hooked on the soulful voice of Nate. Nate Dogg made his debut on The Chronic, singing in what later became his trademark style. He was well received by fans and critics alike. He would go on to sign with Death Row Records in 1993. Nate Dogg was also featured on Mr. Grimm's Indosmoke with Warren G. Then, in 1994, he produced his first hit single, Regulate, with Warren G. Nate Dogg was also featured in many Tupac releases, including his collaboration record, Thug Life, Volume 1. Then, in 1998, after a tumultuous time at Death Row Records, he released another album, the double album. The double album was titled G-Funk Classics, Volume 1 and 2, and was followed up in late 2001 with Music and Me on Elektra Records. Music and Me peaked at number three on the Billboard Hip Hop charts in 2001. After a number of delays and an original release date of April 2004, his self-titled album was released under the title Affiliated Entertainment Group on June 3rd, 2008. Nate Dogg also had many TV appearances. In 2002, Nate Dogg and Isaiah Menendez appeared on a celebrity episode of The Weakest Link, making it to the last 3 players before being eliminated by Xzibit and Young MC. He has also collaborated with other artists. Nate found success not only in solo projects, but in collaborations with other hip-hop artists. In the 2000s, Nate's high-ranking collaborative singles, according to Rolling Stone, include Dr. Dre, The New Episode, Mos Def, Oh No, Fabulous's Can't Deny It, Ludacris's Area Code, 50 Cent, 21, Mark Ransom's Ooh-Wee, Houston's I Like That, Eminem's Till I Clap, and Take That, and Mobb Deep's Have a Party. in the early 1990s, Hale was charged with two separate robberies. Tech Chargers robbery in 1991 and robbery of a San Pedro Taco Bell in 1994. He faced a maximum of nearly 11 years in prison, but he was subsequently acquitted of both charges. In 1996, Nate Dogg was convicted of a drug-related offense in Los Angeles County. On June 17, 2000, Nate Dogg was alleged to have kidnapped and assaulted his former girlfriend and set her mother's car on fire in Lakewood. He was arrested by a SWAT team at his home in Pomona. He was accused of kidnapping, domestic violence, making terrorist threats, and arson. He spent a night in the Twin Towers Correctional Facility in Los Angeles before he was released on a $1 million bail. These charges were later dismissed, but Hale faced jail time for a new charge, illegal possession of a firearm by a felon. An unmarked firearm was found in his home during the June 17th arrest. Nate Dogg pleaded no contest to the misdemeanor charge and was sentenced to probation of 3 years in order to pay a $1,000 fine. On April 12th, Nate Dogg was stopped by Arizona Department of Public Safety officers outside Keene, Arizona, while traveling on a tour bus. He was arrested and charged with firearm-related and drug-related offenses after two pistols and 4 ounces of cannabis was found. Nate Dogg was booked on Mohave County Jail and subsequently released on a $3,500 bond. Weapon charges against him were dropped and exchanged to guilty plea to drug possession charge. Nate was subsequently sentenced to probation and community service. He was also ordered to attend drug counseling sessions in May of 2012. Let's see this. All right, now, on December 19th, 2007, Nate Dogg unfortunately suffered a stroke. According to a coordinator for his recently formed gospel choir, Inmate Praise, reports had circulated that Nate Dogg had been admitted to Pomona Valley Hospital Medical Center in Pomona, California, after suffering a heart attack. Erica Beckworth, however, confirmed to MTV News that Nate Dogg was released on December 26th after being treated for a stroke and was admitted to a medical rehabilitation facility to assist him in his recovery. Now, on January 18th, 2008, there you go. It was officially reported that the stroke had rendered the left side of his body paralyzed. Doctors believed there would be full recovery, and his voice was not affected. In September 2008, he suffered a second stroke. Nate Dogg died March 15, 2011. In Long Beach, California, on March 17th. His attorney, Mark Geragos, confirmed that the cause of death was from complications of multiple strokes.
All right. I thank you for that rendition of The Life and Times with my man Nate Dogg, because I need to buy some time till I got in the studio. Hope all that little backdrop wasn't disturbing y'all, because I'm just not getting in here, and I see that my system is not here. So what I'm going to do as I break down here to the studio, 347-838-9898. to 5 is to get one commercial up, and then we will go right into some Nate Dogg, everybody. First 30 minutes sponsored by Organic Bowl.
Got your black coffee at the Jazz Cafe. Got your mocha at the Jazz Cafe. Got your latte at the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. Got your black coffee at the Jazz Cafe. Got your mocha at the Jazz Cafe. Got your latte at the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. The Jazz Cafe is one of the main distributors of the Organo Gold Coffee. It gives natural energy delivered right to your doorstep. If you want to order your coffee today, contact Shauna at 601-918-2079 or go to 601jazzcafe.organogold.com. Got your black coffee at the Jazz Cafe. Got your mocha at the Jazz Cafe. Got your latte at the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. Got your black coffee at the Jazz Cafe. Got your mocha at the Jazz Cafe. Got your latte at the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe.
Thank you. We're back now at the Jack Off Hour. This is DJ Easy Dick. One of those balls is right now, something new by Snoop Doggy Dogg. And this one goes out to the ladies from all the guys. A big bow wow wow. Cause we're gonna make it a little mystery here tonight. This is DJ Easy Dick on the station that slaps you across your fat ass with a fat dick.
When I met you last night, baby, before you opened up your gap, I had respect for your lady, but now I take it all back, cause you gave me all your pussy.
deserve, for I stake my claim. I independently lay down and made my game. My own two ways, my flame, cause dick ride make my thing. I earned what they said I wouldn't. I got it the way they said I couldn't. But now I'm getting it, and they whole grill is crooked. Mad cause I'm getting kicked out for my bookings. Where y'all was asking permission, I just stepped up and took it. What? The kids better buy my rookie card now. Cause after this year, the price ain't coming down. And if you got a joint bubbling, then get money now. Cause in a minute, there's gonna be some real trouble coming out. So just a warning. As usual, some cats won't heat it. The hard headed always gotta feel it to believe it. The shame, the jealous gaze is too short to see it. But when they face it, the semen, they know it in agreement. We can play nice and decent, but dirty like the 7-1 precinct. Call it a day, you make it a long evening. You keep on scheming, then give me some more reason. I had the women in your mama's church screaming, no Jesus. Harder than y'all, cause I'm smarter than y'all. I know the deep down, it got to be bothering y'all. Pay attention, watch your block, go get larger than y'all. Pour your pride on the rocks, make it swallow it all.
Oh no! Look at who they let in the back door. From Long Beach to Brooklyn, they know. We rock from the east to west coast. Queen to Lucy, baby.
No!
Step away from the mic, they too cold.
Very contagious rap, should be trapped in cages. Through stages of whack, the spouse raps are blazing and it amazes me how you claim thugs would go two ways without SkyTel pages. I'm intellectual, pass more essays than motorcade, police parades through East LA, more beef than Dele. Thus what I vent is just, what you lust to vent is eat relay. Hallelujah, several marches to ya, maintain the same frame of mind through ya. Get the picture, sit your seat, your preacher with scripture, I'm equipped to rip your reacher. Pharaoh and Moses, verbalized Moses, coast to coast, we boast to be the most explosive here. Ferocious, the lyrical prognosis, your dose, just leaving you mentally unfocused there. MC's just come on round. You're the next contestant on Catch a Beat Down. Don't be hesitant, sound cracks the sediment. It's evident we better set for your whole town. Sky's the limit, game's infinite when I'm in it. All windows is in it, I see in me when I'm in it. Rap, we got it on lock, man. Stop that. Put that mic back down, boy. Drop that. Pharaoh's flows blow shows like afros. We hate y'all, though. That's my Nate Dogg.
Oh, no. Niggas ain't scared to hustle. It's been 7 days, the same flow. Ask them originals, cause they know. All steps, Nate Dogg and payroll. Step away from the mic, be too cold. The funk mic cracks to your nose. No, 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 no. Oh no. Niggas ain't scared to hustle. It's been 7 days, the same flow. Ask them originals, cause they know. All steps, Nate Dogg and payroll. Step away from the mic, they too cold. The funk mic cracks to your nose. No, 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 no. Oh no, look at who they let in the back door. From Long Beach to Brooklyn, they know. We rock from the east to west coast. Queen to Lucy, baby. No, step away from the mic, they too cold.
347-838-9825, Jimmy's Radio Underground. Just doing a tribute to Nate Dogg and a tribute to the fallen hip-hop greats. Just taking a little time out to give shouts out to those who passed away. And besides, we ain't got a guest anyway. So let me go in and do what I do at the half an hour, play my Jimmy Got Soul, then we're going to come back with the continued tribute to Nate Dogg. Never Leave Me Alone, Regulate, and Ludacris.
And now, the mellow sounds of Jimmy Irvin.
Never meant to make you cry. You were the only one I've ever loved in my life. And though it's hard for me to show it, I've got to let you know it. Cause darling, I love you more each day. But the word got in my way. Oh,
can't do it no more. I can't sing no more sad songs. One, two, three, hit me, bop the bop, bop.
hopping out of bebop, bop, bop. Yeah, bass man, come on up. One, two, three, hit me. Sound good. Yeah, saxophone on the floor. One, two, three, hit it.
County main line back in 9500. Just trying to handle my spitting game at the homies about the good old days. As we try to pass time, waiting for the chain to Chino. I see no reason to cry, but I miss my baby boo and my baby Spanky too. It's true, that's the dirt I did. From an OG to a snotty nose kid. Got me caught up in the rapture like May's days gone by. And real G's gon' cry. But I try to walk the yard with my head to the sky. And hope my baby boo ain't got somebody on the outside. But what's the chance that it ain't cracking? If I was out and she was in, I'd probably be making. I can't lie, so I say I would. Now my girl in the world will play a hood. A player should show a brother love and look out. But the G's I know will probably turn you out. So keep away, better yet stay away. And hope I get out one day, okay? But if I don't, I guess this is home. My girl is tripping, she got a block on the phone.
Oh,
is Underground Radio. We're just wrapping up our little tribute to Nathaniel, a.k.a. Nate Dogg. And how my producer, Ebony, wanted to call it the tribute to the father of hip-hop greats. We're going to kick it to our next episode and go on by our little Condoleezza Rice, continue our topic with my girl Dana and Ebony, who else wants to check in. But let me go in and wrap it up with the last cut of Nate Dogg and Dre. And this should be a segue to what we're about to get into. Well, not the topic, but a good little song. So we're about to get into the next episode. So let's go to the next episode.
It's the motherfucking Eagle Double G.
Snoop Dogg.
My nigga, turn that shit up. CPT, LBC, yeah, we hooking back up. And when they bang this in the club, baby, you got to get up. Thug niggas, drug dealers, yeah, they giving it up. Low life, yo life, boy, we living it up. Taking chances while we dancing in the party for sure. Slipped my hoe a 44 when she got in the back door. Bitches looking at me strange, but you know I don't care. Step up in this motherfucker just to swing in my hair. Bitch, quit talking, quit walk if you down with the sick. Take a bullet with some dick and take this dope on the jet. Out of town, put it down for the father of rap. And if your ass get cracked, bitch, shut your trap. Come back, get back, that's the part of success. If you believe in the ass, you'll be relieving your stress.
It's the motherfucking D.R.E.
Dr. Dre, motherfucker.
You know I'm mobbing with the D.O.G. Straight off the fucking streets of CBT. King up the beach, you ride to him in your fleet. The bill rolling on dubs. How you feel? Whoop-de-whoop, nigga, what? Dre and Snoop Chronic down in the lag. With Doc in the back, sipping on yak.
Yeah.
Clipping the strap, dipping through hood.
What
up? Compton, Long Beach, Inglewood. South Central, out to the west side. This California love, this California bug. Got a nigga gang of pub. I'm on one, I might bell up in the Century Club. With my jeans on, and my team strong. Get my drink on, and my smoke on. Then go home with something to poke on.
What's up, bitch?
Locust Stone for the 2000. Coming real, it's the next episode.
Hold up. Hey, all my niggas who be thinking we saw.
Jimmy's Underground Radio 347-838-9825. Just wrapping up our tribute to Nate Dogg. We're going to go into our topic about Condoleezza Rice one more time. We left off for it. We got my lady DC Dana back in full effect. What's going on, Dana? Oh, should I play your theme song before I brought you in? What should I do that?
Did you hear my theme song, Jimmy?
Hey, DJ, honey. I made the theme song. I brought you in, or should I just brought you in? How should I have done it?
I don't know. What do you think?
Well, let's get it for people right now. The new DC's Dana theme song.
She's your queen to be. A queen to be forever, a queen who'll do whatever His Highness desires. She's your queen to be, a vision of perfection,
gentlemen, DC Dana. There you go. What about that? Now, what's going on, Dana?
Hey, Jimmy, how are you? Hey, Ebony.
All right. What's happening now? What I wanted to do was finish our conversation about my girl, Condi, because there's so much news about her in the out there in the press. You got Romney trying to persuade Condi to run. They got a poll on that. She's going to speak at MSU, Michigan State University freshman orientation this week. And they got in Huffington Post just yesterday, they said Mitt Romney is, Florida might be, depending on who he chooses, Condoleezza Rice or Marco Rubio can swing the election. It's a very interesting thing how she's all over the place. But I'm going to deal with that after, I guess, we come from these commercial breaks. I would try to run through a qualifications again for those people who wasn't paying attention last time. And then, again, we can discuss the merits of this lady and her so-called run to the presidency. Can you roll with me on that?
Okay, let's do it.
All right, let me hit this commercial break. We'll be right back with you on the side. Jimmy's Underground Radio, 347-838-9825.
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our homeownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors programs. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as $20 a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes. With no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. Visit electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288. That's electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288.
Hi there, I'm the X-Man, Xavier Paul. I'm a national network voiceover talent. You've heard my voice represent hundreds of brands and businesses for the past 15 years. Well, now it's your turn. I understand how important it is to promote your business or event in the right way. That starts with quality radio spot production and the nation's top voiceover talent. You might wonder, how do I get started? What's the best approach? What voice talent do I use? And most importantly, can I do it affordably? That's why I created CoolVoiceRadio.com, I take you to the finish line, giving you everything you need to advertise effectively on the radio. I'll help you create your concept, write your spot, even choose your music and cast your voice talent and get it aired on the radio. Now that's cool. Email me today at info@coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800 because nothing beats the right sound.
Do you hear that? LLDQ Productions.
I'm making mine, but it's mine. You know what did you make it for?
Make it
and I'm profit, so what did you take me for? Cause I'm the man and the kind that you can't ignore. Cause I'm making mine, but it's you making yours.
You
history in the making, know what did you make it for?
Make it
and I'm profit, so what did you take me for? Cause I'm the man and the kind that you can't ignore.
On this track, I stand tall as hell when I lay on it. I extend my hand, so put that pay on. I proceed to stack Pringles and Lay's on it. They say I did it again, I said I stays on it. She rocking a birthday suit, so I put some cake on it. She deserve it with that curvature, that's my take on it.
First off,
that's my place on it. It's not just me saying this, man, that's what they wanted. I'm getting mad, hope you're doing the same. Keep that quality in it, please do not ruin the game. What I get and what I do, I include in my name. A profit bout that profit still growing, I'm proud of you, man.
Making mine, but is you making yours? You victory in the making, or what did you make it for? And I'm profit, so what did you take me for? Cause I'm the man, and the kind that you can't ignore. Cause I'm making mine, but is you making yours? You victory in the making, or what did you make it for? And I'm profit, so what did you take me for? Cause I'm the man, and the kind that you can't ignore.
How could you miss it? I'm right up in your face. Can't help but to see us. We hold the lead in every race. I get it. And I make sure the reward always outweigh what the risk is. Monster in the game. Treat lame ass rappers like entrees. Chicken, filet, and a biscuit. Cat so parfait and mystic. Soft as yogurt and liquid. Throw them over the cliff. It's P and I'm known as the sickest. Making history. And if you ain't noticed, you ignorant. Pay your attention. Follow that up with dollars and cents. Come to my show. Pay homage. Add to the census, millions in attendance, and I won't stop till I get it. Becoming my foe, I wouldn't risk it. I take the shot, you best believe I swish it. Yeah, I'm
making mine, but is you making yours? Is history in the making, or what did you make it for? And I'm profit, so what did you take me for? Cause I'm the man, and the kind that you can't ignore. History in the making, or what did you make it for? And I'm profit, so what did you take me for? Cause I'm the man, and the kind that you can't ignore.
Jimmy Lee's Underground Radio, Papa Child Paul, history in the making, history, 347-838-9825. Okay, now, Dana, we stand as a big push now for our girl, your girl, our girl, Condoleezza Rice to, I guess, join Mitt Romney as vice president. Before I deal with should she be president, what do you think about the possibilities of her running as vice president?
I think it's just an attempt to do anything to try to win.
Well, not about winning. I understand that's the attempt because he wants to win. So when you're trying to go for the office, you pull no stops. But I'm saying, what do you feel that by having Condoleezza Rice, I mean, everybody who listens to my show knows how much Kool-Aid of Obama you're drinking, and no one can make you turn around. Ain't nobody can make you turn around. You'll keep on walking. But the point I want to say is that, what do you, as somebody on the sidelines of Obama, not in the Republican Party, what do you feel as Condoleezza Rice being added on the ticket? What do you think that would do?
for her image or for the image of Mitt Romney.
It shows how desperate he is. Condoleezza Rice, I believe, can stand on her own merit, but she shouldn't play into the bureaucracy, and she shouldn't play into the desperate attempts to just do anything to turn this race. It's as simple as that. It's obvious that Mitt Romney does not have a connection with the people. Especially taking into consideration that for how many years he hasn't even been paying taxes and he's a millionaire? Come on, if you want to be the president of the United States to do well for the economy? You want to fix the economy? Do your share and give back. Pay your part. I got to give my cut on a monthly basis and when I go to the store. You mean you get off scot-free and you're a millionaire? That's crazy. So to me, it just shows another sign of the desperation and how far they're willing to go to just do anything to win.
But do you think by he's showing desperation by getting the qualified Madam Condoleezza Rice on his ticket, do you think that's showing desperation?
I think it's showing desperation by trying to get somebody. It's like me trying to go into the ring into a boxing match, and I know I really can't box. So what I do is I say, okay, well, I get my tag team opponent to be Muhammad Ali, because I know Muhammad Ali may be able to box. And so if Muhammad Ali can box just enough to get me through, then I'll bring him along with me. It's desperation. If you win on your own merit. But first of all, you got to not do shady stuff.
Okay.
That's my opinion, of course. That's my opinion.
Okay. Now, with the stuff that you're saying he's doing is shady, in your opinion, do you think Condi adds to his ticket? Do you think she takes away from his shade?
I don't know if she adds to his ticket or does he take away from her credibility.
Why would she take away from her credibility? Can you not see this probably as they are? Can you see that as like, okay, listen, since she didn't run for the nomination, and you see now she's going to be elevated on the grand stage, which means she's going to go, if she accepts it, she's going to go state to state campaigning. Now, let's say Mitt Romney does not make it. Wouldn't that, in fact, put her next in line like it almost did with Sarah Palin by putting her new next in line for the nomination? Wouldn't this be like almost a coronation for her to be the next nomination of the party?
That's kind of like saying, did Sarah Palin add to or take away from the presidential nomination during the last election? You know?
What do you think she did?
I don't feel that she added to the election. I think she brought a bunch of smut to the campaign.
But, you know, not taking from everything you saw from the game changing HBO TV shows and all of that you probably saw in documentaries of the poor lady, you don't feel that after John McCain picked Ms. Palin, that's all everybody was talking about, because i.e., just like Mitt Romney, John McCain campaign was going nowhere, not getting no traction, not getting no media coverage. As a matter of fact, if you look at Mitt Romney's numbers, he's doing well in the same areas that John McCain has done well, 65-year older population, white male population, and the angry white class population, the same population that John McCain had, Mitt Romney is doing well in. So the point I'm saying is he had just a boring campaign until he brought the sensational Sarah Palin out out there. And whether you like her or not, you know, she stood for her ground, and she did make his campaign more exciting and more talk. Matter of fact, the only reason to talk about John McCain campaign now is because of Sarah Palin. It was nothing that he did. It was something that she brought to the ticket. And that will almost, in my opinion, be the same if Condoleezza Rice joined his ticket. I'm not saying she's going to bring him down, because her credentials alone props him up and makes him, she illuminates him. But she will bring excitement to the ticket. It'd be very interesting to see. How will she handle the black community running with Mitt Romney? See, it'll be very interesting in my point of view.
to see how she will re-engage herself in the African-American community. Now, I think she probably can do that better off alone, but maybe this is a point for her to get a toe into the water to see what will blacks say to her with her own mind, knowing that she might vote for Obama too, in her own mind, knowing that blacks are going to go with Obama. But I bet you this, Dana, I bet you any amount of money, if you was to ask Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice if they voted for John McCain or Barack Obama, I bet you they told you Barack Obama. I bet you they will. I bet you they will. Because I bet you if you were to ask Condoleezza Rice and Colin Powell under oath, I guarantee you they'll tell you that they voted for Barack Obama. Because, like, given our last week conversation on Wednesday, I was saying that what's wrong with saying I voted for the person because he's black, by the stereotype that we all fall into. Like this, Dana, what's wrong with a black man sitting on the front porch eating a fried chicken leg and a piece of watermelon? What the fuck is wrong with that?
Isn't that perpetuating the stereotype? Come on now.
Hey, Dana.
Hey, Dana,
if you came to my house last Saturday and had a barbecue, which I did at a block party, and I set you out in my front of my yard, which I did, all my neighborhood, my whole neighborhood, the kids out front, it was off the hook. And I set you down in my front yard. Now, I wouldn't give you a beer because beer might ditch set you off. You might take beer like people take bath salt. But if I gave you a piece of chicken, like I gave everybody some chicken, everybody walked past, I gave a piece of chicken. Now, if I gave you a piece of chicken, and the chicken was off the smoking spot because my shit is on point, off the grill, you're like, man, Jimmy, this chicken is good. And then I brought out the cooler a big piece of watermelon, and I cut the watermelon out. Would you not take that watermelon and eat it outside in public, or would you go in house and hide because it makes a stereotype?
Say that again?
I said, if you came to my barbecue and I gave you a piece of chicken and a slice of watermelon, would you sit in my front yard and eat it, or would you have to remove yourself because of the stereotype that it shows?
I think it's just a racist stereotype, right? Throughout the years,
Dana, what's wrong with eating chicken and watermelon?
Associate black people with watermelon and fried chicken.
But I'm just saying, it's a stereotype.
I don't eat watermelon and fried chicken together. If I'm eating fruit watermelon, I'm gonna eat some watermelon. If I'm eating chicken,
I want to know is that if people was giving out watermelon, okay, just say this. Say you was at a, I'm going to go back to my Condoleezza Rice point a minute, everybody. Then just say you were at the Taste of Chicago, and you went to this restaurant, and they gave out these, you know, these watermelon bowls, these big watermelon cups, so just watermelon. Now, at the time, there's no fried chicken, just watermelon. And you're enjoying the watermelon. Now, just say your friend next to you went to the same Taste, went to the booth next to you, and got them like a pan of chicken, or let's say a basket of chicken. Would you separate yourself from that dude because you would not want to be seen walking down the street with you with a piece of watermelon in your hand and him some chicken in his hand?
Wait, say that again?
Would you walk with that gentleman if you went to the Taste of Chicago, and you know how they have different kiosks there, different vendors, some have fruit cups and stuff like that, and you went to one venue that sold the vegetable fruit cup, and you got you some watermelon. And your date, male or female, whatever, went with you, and they went to the next kiosk or vendor next to there and got them a basket of chicken. Will you walk with that friend of yours, or do you separate yourself with that friend because you don't want everyone to think that us all black folks do is eat chicken and watermelon when they come outside in public?
I'm telling you, it's just a racist stereotype.
No, I'm just saying. But Dana, do you know how the white folks eat chicken and watermelon?
What?
If chicken and watermelon was just a black folks' delicacy, they wouldn't sell it in jewels. I'm just saying. You wouldn't buy it in jewels on the north side. But what I'm saying is this. I said all of that. I took everybody in a circle. I said all of that, ladies and gentlemen, to say this. That sometimes when black folks get into their little black corner, real talk, white people, we do think about black people, and we do err on the side of blacks. And I said earlier that if you ask Condi, if you ask Colin, if they voted for Obama, President Obama, I'm guaranteed they'd say yeah. And And I said, I was about to say this, that if she gets on the ticket, will black people become vocal critics of Romney? You see, because there are not a lot of black vocal critics of Romney. You really got your Ed Schultz, you really got your MSNBC crowd really just jumping on him. And then you got the Fox crowd really propping him up. The CNN crowd, they are just like whatever. And just like your main ABC, CBS, and NBC affiliates, they're just in the middle. But will black folks come out and criticize Condoleezza Rice because she was with the team that helped craft the war to get us in Iraq and Afghanistan? Will they hold that against her? Or will they look at her qualifications? You see, I really don't want to run for vice president because I don't want this to smear and disrupt her illustrious career. And the only people I think that can smear her illustrious career are African Americans because they're good to jump on a rah-rah. They're good to jump on a black man. They're good to beat the black person down. You know, because, you know, this ain't no diss to my girl Dana because, like Dana said, and that's true. Just because you're black don't make you in a club. Real talk. People feel that just because Clarence Thomas is black, he's not on the club. He ain't ruled on nothing that can harm black people. But just the simple fact that a Republican nominated him and we got a black man on the Supreme Court, that man got to be wrong. Just like Condon Coleman took all that harass for the black community for doing their jobs to the excellence of their command. They carried out their duties in exemplary fashion. But yet, people look at them as being sellouts in times because they roll with the Republicans. It's like saying this. It's like this, Dana. If George Bush would have asked you and said, yo, D.C., Dana, I think you qualified. Can you run I want you to be my Surgeon General and run my health department. Would you turn that down because you can't stand Bush? Or would you take that job and do it to your fullest ability?
Wait, say again?
If George Bush would have tapped you to be United States Surgeon General because he felt that you displayed your medical career and the service, you did a very great job, and he wants you to be a Surgeon General, would you turn that down because you can't stand George Bush, or would you take that job and do it to the best of your capabilities?
I would do the job to the best of my capabilities.
See, that's the point I'm saying. And when people look at Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice, they look at them as being sellouts, not as African-Americans being charged with a duty of high service to the country and doing it to their fullest ability. They look at the person that hired them and look like, oh, because you work for him, you got to be bad for the African Americans. And that's what I feel that most black Republicans come under that umbrella and get charged with that, not looking at their duty and qualifications. It's not as if they got up there and start fucking up and giving the black people a bad name by the duties and the service that they're doing. They give black folks a great name. You know, I mean, 20 years from now, I mean, your grandkids are going to be looking at Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice as excellent citizens of this country and did great service for the progression of America. You know, in the end, and here, we right here, we always, we shit on them. We shoot them down as being sellouts because they failed to stay on the plantation. They get off the reservation. They don't want to recruit no more. I'm just saying.
But you know what? Okay, you know, there's these groups that tend to attempt to remove negative stereotypes and negative associations with names by naming themselves they use the same name as a group that may be bad, right? And then
okay.
They say, hey, it's just a name. Don't judge us based on their actions. Judge us based on us, right?
True that.
The problem with that is that the us, you know, it's like I tell my kids, when you hang out with bad kids, then you don't bring those kids up. Those kids bring you down, right? And so if an association of a group is with what you would call a bad group or a disliked group or whatever, then you get to be judged by that group. You know, my mother used to tell me, eagles don't chase flies. Right?
Right.
So she said, eagles don't chase flies. They go up and they soar with the eagles. And so if I wanted to be a fly, I needed to hang out with the flies. And then if I wanted to be an eagle, I had to get up and soar. So I couldn't pretend like I was an eagle and be hanging out with the flies. So I would say the same thing. You know, if a person feels that they're being misjudged based on the group, then they should get away from the group.
But again, it's not judged by the group. Then, like I said, it's a job. It's a job. If someone attacks you for unemployment and that employment is serving your country and you do it to the best of your ability, it's not being no group. When you're serving your country, there's no politics involved in it. It's just a job to make sure Americans, make sure the citizens of the
conversation. I had a similar conversation with someone today about remaining a part of a group that I feel that is unethical, right?
Okay.
And so the advice that was given to me was, you don't just let go of the group, and you know you're not just doing this to be, you're not doing this just for the group. You're doing this for you, and so you don't just give up the group. You don't just give up the group based on the actions of some, right? But my response was, is that if the group is unethical, and if the principles of the group are based on a lie, then the whole group is a liar. And so I have to decide, do I want to be a part of the lie? You see what I mean?
I'm following you. But the point I'm saying is, if I'm giving a peace and love and judge everybody by their content, their character, you can't judge a group in a group wise without looking at the individual. Because in today's society, everybody gets grouped. I mean, Dana, you might get grouped in the 6'3 and under chick, you know what I'm saying? Everybody be like, hold on. If you're over 5'7 and female, you can't get hired. Not black and white, not straight or gay, not skinny or fat, just tall. But the point I'm saying is that this might say, hey, look at me. Yeah, I might be tall, but I'm attractive. I'm in the medicine field. I know what I'm doing. They were like, well, no, I don't care what you're doing. You with that tall, crazy group, and everybody tall is crazy. And then from this point on, everybody look at tall people is crazy. The point I'm saying is people just judge. They judge. Like, give me an example. The transportation secretary is Ray LaHood. Barack Obama picked Ray LaHood to be his transportation secretary. Ray LaHood was a Republican. Barack Obama picked, I can think of my man's name from Philadelphia, from Pennsylvania, to be on his committee. He was Republican. The point I'm saying is you do not have to go for somebody in your party. You decide to pick the person, the best person for your job. And I feel that we as blacks, we don't, instead of pledge allegiance to the flags, we pledge allegiance to just an idea. And the idea is that if you look at the Republicans, they're going to take your welfare away from you, and everybody black's on welfare. And so you got to tax the rich because ain't nobody black making no money, so get that money from the rich people. Or you want to look at the breakage up of the family by, I'm not going to go by and say homosexual marriage. I can go by saying abortions and birth controls, which I'm going to do a show on
how birth controls are causing all these chronic illness in women, let's say 49 and under, with all these brain aneurysms and stuff like that. I can remember I was like 15 and 16 and girls taking those pills. You can read the back of them. They said, no alcohol, no smoking, and these would be the outcomes. These are the side effects. And it's very interesting now that all the side effects that was on those packages back then are now happening to a lot of people in these days. And then I realized that it's because there's birth control pill that's called. But anyway, the breakage up of the family and all that stuff, yada, yada. You can look at a side of people and say, well, I'm rolling with a party that feels that way. And then some other people can look at you like, man, no, freedom and right, you can't tell me what to do and all that stuff, which is true. You know, because I don't believe the government should tell you what to do. I don't believe the government should tell you you should have your seatbelt on. That's just me. I don't believe the government should tell you how to raise your family. I don't believe the government should tell you if your kid's too fat. I don't believe the government should tell you if you need health care or not. I don't believe the government should tax me and tell me what to do. I don't believe the government should tell me that if I got a cow in my yard, I can't milk the cow and sell my milk because milk's unpasteurized. I don't like the fact that if I got chickens in my yard and my chickens give good eggs, I can't give good eggs away because I'm not, the farm ain't been regulated. I mean, I just don't like the government doing stuff to me like that. But that's another subject, Dana. But the point I was saying is that given Madam Condoleezza Rice's pedigree, let me race her getting on the vice president stuff because I think they're playing her like Mike Dukakis did Jesse Jackson back in the 80s. I think they're just dangling out there for her. Do you think black people will hold Condoleezza Rice in a different, if we look at it in a jaundiced eye, if she decides to run for office?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I can't say that. I don't know.
I'm just giving you. I'm not saying. I'm not saying she's all black folks standing because you know all just because you're black with me in a club. The point I was trying to say is that I'm actually your gut, not your book smarts. I'm actually your gut of all the people that you deal with. In the Dana Gallery, when I be doing my shows and holding them crazy opinions that say because you black, them ain't got to vote for you and all that stuff, and people didn't vote for Obama because he was black, and no, they voted for Jesse because he was black, that group, I would like to know what that group holds it against Condoleezza Rice. She's black and a Republican. Not because she's not qualified. We can't deal with the qualifications because I'm not going to repeat the qualifications because we know her qualifications are impeccable. But will they hold it against her? Matter of fact, I wish you was your Motley Crue right now. I wish you was with them so I can ask them, will they vote for Condi over Clinton? You know, because it's coming down to Condi over Pelosi.
I don't know. You know, it's like a fear thing, the fear tactic, right? It's like, oh, crap. Oh, we got African American in the house, and now so all black people gonna run. So are they all gonna win? Does that mean that the next so many years that's what we're gonna be dealing with? You know what I mean?
But Dana, you think about this.
We can't talk about 2016 because we gotta make it to 2012.
But Dana, I'm saying this, Dana. Listen, if the African American, the minority population in America is gonna be by 2025. The minority will be dominating the world, and here in America, the white race will be the minority. That's already statistically documented. It's only fair that African Americans take leadership positions. Now, just because we got one in, don't mean everybody else should run in. Yes, it should. That means all the qualified people were scared because of their qualifications. The color of their skin will hold them back. Then all those high qualification people know that no longer exists. Now they there. Now they then can go ahead and show their qualifications and run. But it always took one black coach. It took Art Shell to everybody know that blacks can coach football. It took Frank Robinson to know everybody, let everybody know blacks can coach baseball.
Took Lenny Wilkins there. Everybody know blacks can coach basketball. I mean, then after that, they start saying, yeah, we need more blacks in here because they can take leadership roles. They can run our colleges. They can lead men. You know, it took a long time for blacks as quarterbacks because they had no leadership capabilities. But now all that is blown out the window by having a black in the White House showing that we. Matter of fact, it was blown out the window when Colin Powell got in office, but everybody hated Colin Powell. It was blown out the window when we replaced Thurgood Marshall with Clarence Thomas. But you know, yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, we kept a black seat, we kept it qualified. Even though since George Bush, we had George Bush, Bill Clinton, George Bush, Barack Obama, that's four presidents, and not one of them have nominated a black person yet. But I know, it don't mean nothing. But even though when Republicans get in, they make sure blacks have high-ranking positions. Now, the point I'll be trying to tell people is either, A, one party is making sure that blacks are well-represented because they respect them, or I got one party feeling like, well, shit, they ain't qualified enough, you know, or we straight, we know.
You don't do any good to put a person in a high position. Am I blue room?
Nope, you still here. I'm with you.
Go
ahead.
You have to put somebody in a high-ranking position and then go through and totally destroy the others in the same group.
Well, Dana, how many blacks have done that so far? How many blacks have done that so far, Dana?
Well, we don't. How many do we have? We have more.
Dana, so we can't.
We can only judge. We only judge the whole based on the view.
Well, then, given up what you said, then, given up what you said, then we got a black in office, and he's bad for black people. Then, get up what you said.
You think Clarence Thomas has helped?
Has he hurt?
Has he helped?
Has he hurt?
I don't know. I'm just asking a question.
My deal is this, his image alone, just like Barack Obama's image alone, puts out the fact that blacks can also judge indiscriminately, puts to the point that blacks can be sitting in a position to judge properly. I mean, that's what his image right there represents. But the point I'm saying, giving you like what you said, you know, put somebody in a black position, they might not be good for black folks doing harm for black people. And then we have never been in that position for that statement to be true until now. And if that statement is true, that means we got a black man in office who ain't doing good for black people because he's bad for black folks. But if Barack Obama is setting a bar, then everybody will follow that bar. If his bar is set that high, then everybody will follow that bar that was set that high. But if he's doing bad for black folks, then the next man can do the same damn thing because blacks ain't going to complain. If blacks are not complaining now, they can never complain. So in blacks' mind, Barack is doing a great job. In some black minds, Barack is doing what you just said, getting in office and all blacks are suffering. It all depends on what glass you're looking at. But in my mind, I'm saying that give us a time, give us a chance to lead, and we'll show you how it's done. And that's what we're doing now. Every day on the radio show, you like to thump your chest and say how much a great and wonderful job your president is doing, the president is doing, and what he's doing this, how he's doing that, and all this and that, my president, all that, all those things you're saying. Point I'm being, are you saying those things because a black man is doing it or just because a Democratic man is doing it? I believe he's doing it, you said it because a black man is doing it, and you probably see a black man.
I disagree.
Right.
I'm saying it because he's handling his business. He has done everything he said he was going to do in spite of all the diversity. You have to give him a minimum amount of credit. You gotta acknowledge the fact that he's turned around the economy. You gotta acknowledge the fact that everything he said he was going to do, he has done. And that's despite adversity. So how much more
point
than that has nothing to do with him being black? It has everything to do with him being capable. Are you kidding me? He is the only black president that we have ever had, period. But he's the only one. And I vote every time. So I'm not saying that. I got to give credit where credit is due. You got to give credit where credit is due. Just like I said, Condoleezza Rice handled her business. As Secretary of State, I got to give credit where credit is due. It's not about a party.
Dana, so let me get this straight. Was you this enthused over Bill Clinton also, correct?
Did I feel like he did a great job? Okay, let's look
at
this.
No, no, I'm not saying. I wasn't saying.
Okay,
I'm not judging jobs, Dana. We're going
to
listen.
What we got to do is look at the state of the economy when President Clinton left office.
What I'm saying is this, Dana. Were you enthused like you are right now for Barack Obama? Were you all enthused like most black people were for Bill Clinton?
Absolutely.
That's what
and
I felt.
Dana,
I said that for a reason. Because now, let me give you an example. Let me ask you this one question. How do you feel about Ronald Reagan?
I thought Ronald Reagan was a good president. I thought Jimmy Carter was a good president. And in fact, I thought Jimmy Carter was a great president.
Well, let me tell you something. I used to like Jimmy Carter, but until one time I felt that when Andrew Young got caught up in something he didn't stand, he quickly got rid of him. So I was a big Jimmy Carter fan. Jimmy Carter really turned my mind to politics because I met him one time at Tabernacle Baptist Church when he came to Reverend Rawls when I was a little boy, and I met him, shook his hand. So that was like a highlight of my life. But a lot of people, even Condi, even Colin, they'll tell you they voted for Jimmy Carter too. Coming out of the South, you think the white man going to change, you know what I'm saying, down with the Martin Luther King and everybody, whatever. He put Andrew Young as a United States ambassador, the first black United States ambassador, United Nations ambassador for America. That was on point. But he didn't last that long, nor did Jimmy Carter stand with him. But I'm going to tell you, as a kid, people don't realize this. Under Jimmy Carter, chips went from 10 cents to 15. Nine-laters went from 10 cents to 15. See, that's when I started really looking at how people tripping on taxes. That's when taxes hit me. When I'm a little kid, and I can take about 3 dimes and go get some 9 liters, and I realize, hold on, I'm 15 cents short. Hey, that messed me up. That means I can put back a 9 liters back, and I can get no chips. But let it not be said and done. If you had Jimmy Carter's energy policy right now, the American would be better off. But it all depends what you look and say. If you look at Ronald Reagan, people don't realize we got the Martin Luther King holiday because of Ronald Reagan. Whether you like it or not, Jimmy Carter didn't pass it. He could have, but he didn't. Even though that King wanted him to pass it, he didn't. Then you look at George Bush first. He kept a black seat. He didn't appoint nobody white to fill Thurgood Marshall's seat. He kept a black man there because he knew African Americans want somebody black on the Supreme Court. He made sure blacks got that. You can go back to Bill Clinton, 3 strikes out. Welfare reform, I'm cutting your welfare off. We can go on to that. More blacks in the jail, we can go on to that. You can go to George Bush, the AIDS epidemic in Africa being subsided. You can go into the highest note of small businesses and how everybody made money off the housing game. Whether it popped or not, you can continue to see a lot of people made money off that game. Because I don't know if you know, but I know a lot of millionaires came out the Bush era that was black during the housing market. Matter of fact, I got a lot of friends that rode the housing market, flipped it to the stock game and came out during the Bush administration. I know a lot of people made money. I know a lot of black folks understand how to make the money because they was not in a position to see that when it came. But I know a lot of black folks got their tax money. Every day they turned around, they got a tax increment check from the mail during Bush days. Every tax time, they got some money coming from the government. Every rip, we turned around and gave some money. That I know. See, I know right now a lot of people on fixed income ain't getting no raise. I can go up and down, bicker and down, bicker and bicker and bicker and bicker. But people ain't going to see the small thing. They're just going to see the face. Point being, I mean, Bill Clinton was horrible for black African Americans. And he tucked in.
He was horrible for African Americans?
He was horrible. And, as a matter of fact, he had a chance to get something. He listened. No, let me tell you why he's so horrible. Let me tell you why he's horrible. First of all, more blacks went to jail under Bill Clinton. That's one. Second of all, he cut the welfare relief program. That's two. Third of all, he had 3 strikes out. That means 3 petty crimes, you life for jail. Those Bill Clinton things, highly targeted to African Americans. He took money out of schools for more money in police because of high crime. And everybody liked that, but more blacks went in jail over petty crime and petty stuff like that. We can deal all the way with that. But let's go on Black Hawk Down. Instead of finish up the mission, letting the United States man get drunk in the streets, he's pulled back. Instead of defending that man, let's go back and get those cats. Matter of fact, that's why Obama is right there right now in Mogadishu because Bill Clinton couldn't finish the damn job off. I'm just saying, when you pull back the surface and look at the whole game, everybody want to do the rah-rah, Dana. Everybody does the rah-rah and go off the TV spots, but no one reads the back pages and the fine prints of the news line. Period.
You know what? Here's one thing. Here's a fact about President Clinton that I know. And I don't know that a lot of people are aware of this. In Arkansas, when President Clinton was the governor of Arkansas, there was this group that was committing, I would liken it to hate crimes against minorities, and particularly African Americans. And so what President Clinton did in Arkansas as the governor of Arkansas, he actually rallied to assist these people that were being mistreated because of their race. And see, so people tend to try to associate President Clinton with fairness because of the things that he did as a president. I feel that the things that he did as a president were just a carryover from what he was already doing as a governor.
Well, you know, Dana, that could be a great tool. I agree with you because, you remember, when he was governor, that was back at the time when I guess Ronald Reagan was president back then. He was governor around that time. And if everybody familiar with the man by the name of Oliver North, you know who Oliver North is, Ollie North? Well, Oliver North was a person that ran the Iran-Contra scandal. People might not remember the Iran-Contra scandal. It's one of the biggest scandals that plagued Ronald Reagan's career. It's where we freed the hostages that was held in Jimmy Carter's watch. We traded arms for drugs, for cash, for hostages. And now people don't feel to realize that most of the drugs that came in through the Bush and Reagan administration when they're selling drugs back in the day came in through that law, doing crack hit, it came in through the Iran-Contra scandal. You can follow it in the New York Times, anybody. But anyway, the funny part about it is when the Contras will fire their drugs, guess where they land in? They'll land them in where? Arkansas. Who was the governor? Bill Clinton on the covert spot. They dropped me in Arkansas over under the cloud of night, and they got distributed out the spot right there. So people don't realize most of the drugs that hit the spot during the 80s at the time came from Bill Clinton. I mean, you can always track that down and see where they landed, where was the landing spot, where the spot. You can track it all the way down. And you can go all the way down to see where our community lies. Yeah, they can do all they want to do. You can say Bill Clinton went down there and stood against these people that was being treated wrong. And I can say, yeah, well, George Bush went down to AIDS and gave more money to the relief of AIDS and malaria in the history of any American president. And that's why the only country that George Bush would be hailed as a hero is in Africa right now. The malaria population went down. The AIDS infection went down. Most drugs, most diseases that were affecting people in Africa was subsided because of all the money that Colin Powell, as Secretary of State, promised before he went out and did the testimony for the United Nations, made all that promise before he retired, and George Bush continued it on. But what I'm saying, you can always point to the good things in every president. Like I said, I know a lot of black millionaires that was made during the George Bush administration that was real estate people, that was appraisers, that was marketing, that got that real estate game for 6 years and made a ton of money. Yeah, it popped. I go back to the Bill Clinton spot. I know a lot of people who got in the dot-com boom, made a lot of money before it popped. I go back down again to the SNL days, going to Bush. There's always a – whenever every president comes in, except this one right here, but when every president comes in, there's always a creation of a bubble. You can get in it and make money. It's going to pop. Well, you know, so I just laugh at people look at certain funny things. What economy this? Economy is that? Well, shit, when George Bush – yeah, the economy fit under when George Bush turned, but shit. For a quick second, he did send checks out to everybody, some tax refund checks. If he filed taxes down there every other month or every other 3 months, you got a check from the Bush to go spend the money. He made sure that you spent money in the economy. And, I mean, that's how it was. But, you know, we can always hold things against them. It's easy to get mad at people because everybody's mad at George Bush because they didn't get Al Gore. But yet, people fail to realize when all the black caucus stood up to make sure Al Gore was president, he told everybody to sit down, man, I'm not going to do this, it's cool. But everybody forget Al Gore's father was the one who said we're not going to have civil rights. But it's funny, it's the carryover. There was a good term that says a race of people who does not know their past is tend to repeat it. Now, we don't know who was on what side of what battle and what they did for what. We only looking at what they doing for now. We always tend to forget on how we were. And that's all I'm saying. We don't hold on to your ancestors. You have no future, you know. And that's what I'm saying. We can dabble all day and all night on which prayer, how good Barack Obama. Oh, he's doing a tremendous job. He's doing an impeccable job. Blacks are unemployed more than any time in the world. Blacks are uneducated. I mean, we can go, America is doing great. White America is doing great. I mean, me and this is doing great. A lot of people in America are doing great, but the black man ain't doing great. The ghettos ain't doing great. Unemployment is high on any president. And it's the first time since Frederick Douglass. This is the first time since Frederick Douglass that blacks didn't have a say-so in the White House on the conditions and treatment of the people in this country. First time. Period. So, blacks will look at that and be like, yeah, it's cool. When the next guy come along, we got to roll around. But anyway, Dana, let me go ahead and kill that for a second, because I have another bath salt story just got sent to me, just came up. And I'm so let me go in there and get my last 17 minutes for that. Let me go on this little break. I'll be back with you 1 second.
Listen up, everyone. We have been just informed that there's an unknown virus that's attacking all clubs. Symptoms have been said to be heavy breathing, wild dancing, coughing. So when you hear the sound,
run for cover, cover, cover.
Here I come, pumps in the bump, make you wanna hurt something. I just think it, man, I don't have to sex some. Hang them out the window, call me Michael Jackson. I'm a pain in your rectum. I am that self slept on. Heavy hit around, spit up for me, rerun. Hey, 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 I'm what's happening. Hypnotic in my drink,
that's right.
Shake it till it sinks,
that's right.
Put the moves on the beat,
that's right.
Put it down for the street,
that's right.
Number one, drums go bump, bump, bump. We here, we'll make it boom, boom, jump. If you's a fat one, put your clothes back on before you start putting potholes in my lawn. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, I'm under attack like my name was Saddam. I am the bomb from New York to my lawn, and now I can write a song single to him, Jeffrey Dawn. Just touch my car alarm, breaking my car, you will hear Viper arm. I've been a superstar since Daddy Kane was raw. I'm live on stage, come on and give me some applause.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. You all are so wonderful.
Come on, pass the Dutch, baby. Shake, shake, shake yourself. Pop that, jiggle that fat. Don't stop, get it till your clothes get wet.
Hey, yo, Missy, it would be my pleasure if you just let me knock their ass out for you, baby. Let's go.
It's the immaculate, incredible, magnificent, unforgettable, unimaginable.
Such a dramatical situation.
See all the things you be facing while I be in the place. And the way we be keeping the party shaking.
Hut,
one,
hut,
two,
hut,
three,
hut, four.
Hut. Get that thong, shorty, pull it out your butt.
What?
See if you were the baddest, laying the cut.
What?
If you ain't singing, oh, keeping your mouth shut.
What? Shut.
What? Shut.
What?
Keep your mouth
shut.
I brought a couple shorties back and they cleaning my house up. Almost forgot to mention I'm one of the most important and relevant in the street. Like a genius, we speak intelligent. Look at all of the shakes of the diamonds in my bezel when light hit. Get it, I caught a charge of embezzlement missing. Give it to him and take him all on the ride. Just remember the passing dutch on the left hand side.
Come on, pass the dutch, baby. Shake, shake, shake yourself. Pop that, jiggle that fat. Don't stop, get it till your clothes get wet. Pop that, make that money. Just keep it going like the Energizer Bunny. Shake that, shake that, move it all around. Break that, yank that, judge back now. Freak him, freak her, whatever your choice. Didn't come to judge, I came to get your voice. Scream, my voice is lost. Can I get a ride on a white horse?
Chicago, that is, you can no longer get arrested for having
under half an ounce of marijuana on your possession, you just get
a ticket. That's great. That's wonderful.
You can just get a ticket. So a lot of people walk around the street today smoking weed, and the police ain't bother them. It's kind of crazy outside. It's smoked out. But anyway, that's good to have people not getting no felony, no, like you're 15, 16 years old. You know what I'm saying? Just some youthful indiscretion. Now you get caught smoking weed. Now you're in jail with a felony drug possession. It's going to mess you up for even getting a college grant. You know what I'm saying? You can't get no Pell Grant because youthful indiscretion get caught some marijuana at 15, 16, you know? And your life is messed up. You're just being a little child under some youthful indiscretion. But I'm glad this is going on, but go ahead.
And you know what? It takes, and, you know, people aren't doing, it's not the dangerous one. Shoot, you want to put some injunctions in the house, put them on those doggone bath salts and keep making them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's where the injunctions need to be.
It's some chemical in it. And see, bath salt is the umbrella name of what they're calling the whole thing. You know, every time they outlaw it, they come back with something special like I said, plant food, dog food, hair grow grease, opium. No, they come with a different name. And it's at the gas station. And then if you look at the ingredients are legal ingredients. You know, so every time they try to make
You said
illegal,
they are illegal ingredients?
I mean, every time the ingredients are legal ingredients, whatever they're doing, they chemically alter and change the ingredients chemically. And so when you take it to the laboratory and test it to see if it's the banned substance, it's stronger than the last substance by take it, but it's different than the substance before. What is happening is every time they outlaw it, a stronger batch comes on, you know, and that's what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's happening. So they have not found the whole case and cause of that. But anyway, so we're going to have, we ain't got a guest tomorrow, Dan. We got new music Thursday. We're going to play some new music. We're going to do the top 10. We got to shake up in the top 10, everybody. But I think my list is getting full. And we're straight up going to have to do a keep it and delete it. So I hope people call in. And I'm about to use... Right. So I'm about to use your hammer. We got to hurt some feelings today because I got a lot of... See, it's funny now. It's funny. You never dance for the fat girl you brought to the dance. You always dance for everybody looking at you like, why you bring that fat girl to the dance? But here's the deal. I got a lot of music on, and since all October of last year, we're about to be a whole year in a couple of months. You know, I've been leaning on the arm. What's going on?
And this is how we're going to try to see what the true election results will be, okay?
Right.
I'm going to try to persuade all the listeners to keep my songs.
Okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to have some Dana songs on there, the ones you can keep like that, and the ones you can drop the hammer on, see how we're doing it. Plus, you're going to do our top 10. We've been on like 10 months, going on a year now. I was leaning on everybody who would send us our music. We will keep it on, keep your music on. A lot of times we have not deleted, we kept it on, hoping that maybe y'all might call back in and request it. But that's when we started off. Now, on our Facebook page, we're getting more and more people calling in, more and more people sending us great music. I mean, from everywhere, South Carolina, North Carolina.
I know. When I listen to the radio, I'm listening for Jimmy's hit.
Right, you know what I'm saying? So
I'm like,
we can't get all that.
Turn that other crap off.
Right. We're trying to get all that put together and on. So we're going to probably do a little keep and delete. I got to clear my stuff up and make ready for new music and stuff like that. But anyway, Dana, why don't you go ahead and give your salutation so I can go on and end my show with a little Nate Dogg.
Jimmy, as always, it is a pleasure. I enjoy listening to your points of view. I always enjoy the discussions, and I can't wait to come back again. I'm going to have to sit down and write down all my points of view so I can say why. People should vote with me.
Right, you can get all your stuff out like that.
It's for me to keep it or delete it.
All right. We can do it like that. Let me go in there and put you in blue room so I get your little song out the way. This is Jimmy Lee's Underground Radio. Let me go in and make it real quick and snappy so I can get this last little song. I'm trying to time it out right, everybody. Let's be safe in the streets this week. It's kind of hot out there.
Take it easy, Condi. I'm glad you came to Chi-Town yesterday. I bum rushed my way to get there, but it was all good. Listen, everybody. Good night. May God be with you. Let's be safe in the streets out here.
She's your queen.
Then I guess I'll see you tomorrow, damn.
Good night, Jenny. Talk to you tomorrow.
It is. Awesome. Yep.